All right, just regarding this test, which was scheduled for tomorrow night, I think, have some just opted out because they don't want to do it tomorrow night, but they want to do it another night, or what's the consensus?
More than two or three people that are going to do it. I just don't think
they
put their hand up. Can we do another raise of hands?
All right, let's.
People were shy.
Everybody was shy. Okay. All right, we'll try it again. Who is planning, by God's grace, to be here tomorrow night to sit for the test or exam? Call it what you will.
What exam?
You can't sit for it. You don't know about it. You can come though. And you can sit for it, but okay, let's see. Who's by God's grace gonna be here tomorrow to do the test? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, we've doubled this morning. 5.5. Any advance on 5.5? Okay. Oh, okay. 5.5. We'll call it 6. And then I'll do an extra one just in case. All right. Okay, that'll give me some. I don't want to do 20 and only 2 turn up, you know what I mean? All right, I'll file that away in my Bible. Monday test. All right, Galatians chapter 5, if we can turn there. Galatians and chapter 5. We've been doing a study through the book of Galatians, and we're going to continue that tonight. We're getting towards the end of it. We're getting towards the end of the 5th chapter now. And that's where we are tonight, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and if we can read together from verse 16, I think we'll start there, verse 16 down through to the end. So Galatians chapter 5, and the reading down to the end, verse 26. So Galatians 5, 16. Starting there and read together. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for tonight, for the singing and now the reading of your word together. And Lord, we'd ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear that which the Spirit of God would have from your word tonight. Still our hearts, our thoughts, Lord, that we might, as we would say, be in tune with you tonight. And that we'd give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we want to move down to verse 16 is where we started. So we looked at that last time, walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. That was a promise that God gives to us there. If we're doing what he says there, then we'll be fine. He mentions there in verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. As a Christian, we can have this struggle, the flesh and the spirit. The flesh wanting to do its own thing, and the spirit saying, no, I want you to be obedient to the word of God. So there's this clash between the spirit and the flesh. Now in verses 19 through 23, Paul now does a contrast with the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. So in verse 17, he highlights there's this clash. As believers, we all know what it is somewhere along the line to have this, that I know what I should do, but I keep doing what I shouldn't do, and there's this conflict that goes on. Right? He says, there's a conflict. Now he draws a comparison. So if you give way to the flesh, what can you expect? Well, that's what he tells us here in verse 19 through 21. But if you give way to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to guide you, to lead you, to walk in the Spirit, he said, this is what you can expect in your life. Okay, so he's making the contrast there with the two. And in verse 19 there, we pick up, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Sorry, that's 18. 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And there's 17 of them there that Paul lists for us. The works of the flesh are manifest. These things are obvious. These are the works of the flesh. Have a look in Mark chapter 7 for a moment. You'll find there that the Lord Jesus gives quite an extensive list of this business of the flesh as well. He puts it slightly differently, but in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Okay, that which comes from that. There's an argument about, well, if you eat meats and you do this and don't do that, then that's going to defile you. The Lord says, no, it's not what you eat that defiles you, it's what comes from within that defiles you. Then he goes on and says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. There's a reasonable list as well, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said, this is what comes from within. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. He said, that's the problem. The works of the flesh, that's what defiles a man, because it comes from within. Now, left to ourselves, that's how we're going to live. That's the way it is. To a greater or lesser degree, it doesn't mean everybody will live every one of those sins 100% of the time, 100% of them. But if we're not walking in the Spirit, then there will be certain of these, at least, if not one, but maybe more, that we will fulfill. Because that's all the flesh can do. Right? It comes from within. It's the work of the flesh. It's not a work of the Spirit of God. And so I can expect that some of these sins will be seen in my life, because I'm in the flesh. I'm not walking in the Spirit. And so I just want to have a look at some of these just to make sure we understand perhaps a little bit about the sins mentioned here. The first one he says is adultery. We're probably all aware of adultery, what that means, unfaithfulness in a marriage relationship in particular. But the Lord Jesus, when he spoke of adultery in Matthew chapter 5, he took it a little more than just a physical relationship. He took it higher than that. In Matthew 5:27, he said, you've heard it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he said, I'll tell you something. If a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's committed adultery already. You see, today people would laugh at that and say, oh, you're joking. They're my thoughts. I can think what I like. Well, you can think what you like, but God knows what he thinks about what you're thinking. He says it's not good. He calls it adultery. But it was just a thought I had. It's still adultery, God says. So we can look good on the outside as a Christian sometimes, and we're going pretty good. And people think, man, they're doing pretty good for the Lord. And yet, on the inside, if there's adultery going on, in other words, lustful sexual thoughts, we're not going any good at all. We're not going good at all. In fact, God says we're adulterers. But I haven't actually done anything yet. No, but you would have if you could have. You've already done it in your heart, the Lord says. You're an adulterer. So he goes on and says the next one, adultery, and then fornication. And fornication is a general term for sexual sins. Adultery is specific, but fornication is a little more general term for sexual sins. David touched on it this morning in 1 Corinthians 5, where the man was in a relationship with his mother. And Paul said, that's fornication. And he said, you're boasting about it, and you ought not, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for allowing it. You've got pride problems and everything else. But it's interesting, the word fornication, and you jump on this pretty quickly, in the original language, in the Greek, it's porneia. What does that sound like? Pornography, yeah. Pornography. So we're not out of line to say adultery, fornication, which includes looking at pornography. That is a sin. That is a work of the flesh. And again, people say, well, you know, you can't tell me what I can look at. I'm not telling you what to look at. You look what you like. I'm just telling you what God says about it. If you want to look at pornography, then you are going to be committing a sin called fornication, a sexual sin. And today, I read and I listen to various things, and time again, you hear or read of men who are preachers, who are pastors of churches, who have fallen into this sin of watching pornography, finishing up in adulterous relationships, and being taken out of the ministry. They're disqualified. You see, it's not for some little hobo down the road. This is men who have been godly men, but they've allowed that they've got into the flesh. And what happens when you get in the flesh? Adultery, fornication. It's what happens when you get in the flesh. And so we need to be mindful of that. We need to encourage one another, and we need to exhort one another to be careful. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you're looking at. I know we maybe seem to repeat that pretty often, but it's such a problem in the world today. It's a huge problem. And young people now, you know, you can turn up literally anything on your phone. Any wicked, evil, licentious, sexual, sin, perversion, you name it, it's all there for free. Nobody will know about it. We're talking in the Bible club this morning about temptations and how Satan puts a little bit of bait out there. We had a rat trap here just to make an objective lesson out of it. And said, so what do you think would be temptations? And one of them said, the social media. So that's right. That's correct. Because we think nobody will know, it's all good. That's the flesh. And the flesh, you reap corruption. It's what happens when you sow to the flesh. The next one he says there is uncleanness. And I'll quote, this man said this, it's marked by a filthy mind full of sensually suggestive thoughts and humour. So the news is not good. We've got to get through the bad news before we get to the good news, amen? You listen to that, it's marked by a filthy mind full of sensually suggestive thoughts and humour. Notice Ephesians 5, just a couple of pages across, or one page across, two pages in my Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4. And Paul writing there, notice what he says in verse 3 and 4. But fornication, we've touched on that, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Notice what he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Paul, how did you know we were going to have such trouble today? He said, because we've got it in our day. The heathen nations around were guilty of all these sins when God brought Israel into the land. You read through the Old Testament, he said, the nations, one reason why I'm judging them is because they've committed every sin in the book, and I'm over it. I'm over it. And so we have this filthy mindset and suggestive thoughts. And again, As someone said, it's expressed through now through the pornographic literature and literature and the movies you can get today. It's just talk about uncleanness, and we live in that sort of. And then people go, "Why have we got such problems today?" Yeah, I wonder why. Then he talks about lasciviousness, a word we don't use today, but it has this idea behind it. There's such moral wantonness that it even offends public decency. I don't know if there's too much today that offends public decency, hardly. It's so freely available. And yet that comes under the heading of lasciviousness. And then he talks about idolatry. And we live in an idolatrous world today. There's all sorts of gods out there that people worship. The gods of pleasure, the gods of money, the gods of sport, you name it. There's gods out there everywhere. And John, in 1 John, as he closed out his letter there, the last thing he said in John, 1 John 5:23, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." He's writing to Christians. He's saying, keep yourselves from idols. Oh, we believe in God. The children of Israel believed in God, all right. And 40 days later, while Moses has been up on the mountain there, what does Aaron do? He gets together a whole bunch of gold earrings and makes a golden calf, and they bow down and worship this golden calf. And they said, these be our gods who brought us out of Egypt. I mean, that quickly, they're into idolatry. You say, that can't happen. It did. And it will if we're not careful. How do you deal with that? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Notice what he says next there. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. Something similar in other places he refers to as sorcery or sorcerers. Magicians. All that sort of stuff. And again, it's interesting to have a look what the root word is in the Greek. And you'll understand pretty quickly what I'm going to say after I say it. Pharmakia. Pharmakia. What does that sound like? Pharmacy? Yeah? Sounds a bit like drugs, doesn't it? Yeah. Witchcraft. Sorcery in those days, and it's still the same today. In those days, they had these religious rites, and they would use drugs to incite all sorts of emotional feelings and everything else. It was all part of their witchcraft. That's why they used the word pharmakia. And today, do we have a drug problem? Can a duck swim? Oh my. What a problem we have today. What a problem. And it gets promoted, doesn't it? You look at the pop culture we live in. You know, it started back with the hippies in the 60s, you know. All smoking dope out there. All these, the music that they play today, and it's all tied in together with this whole culture. How does that come, living in the flesh? That's why people say, yeah, you're pretty narrow about the kind of music you use. Amen. Deliberately so. You get out there and start using this heavy metal stuff and all the other rubbish that's out there. Oh, but we sing Jesus Loves You with it. Yeah, forget about it. That's ridiculous. You don't go to the world to get some way to worship God. That's foolishness. Foolishness. So there's witchcraft. Then there's hatred. I guess we know about that. You'll have enemies. You get in the flesh, you'll have some enemies soon. Won't take long. You'll upset someone, they'll upset you. You'll have some enemies pretty quick. You get in the flesh. What else is there? Well, there's variance. Variance. The idea of variance is a discord or quarrels. We're at variance with one another. Well, I don't like the way you said that. You didn't say that right. Oh, look out. Now we've got a variance. We've got some discord. How did that happen? In the flesh. You get in the flesh, you'll have variances. I guaranteed it. It's a work. It comes. It's a work of the flesh. Out of the man's heart proceed these things. So how do you deal with that? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. But if we get in the flesh, we're going to be easy to offend or be offended, and look out, there'll be quarrels, rivalry, discord, you name it. Then you've got on top of that, he says, now not only that, you've got emulations. And the idea is there's this jealousies. You know, well, I wouldn't mind one of those. I wish I had one of those. How come? You know, and we start getting envies and jealousies. And then after that, he says, well, we've got wrath, or wrath, depends where you come from. White hot anger. It's like an outburst of anger. Oops, calm down. How do you deal with that? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And then what else? Well, we've got, it's a pretty big list, isn't it? Strife. Strife. It's the opposite to unity. It's a party spirit. There's a division. We've got strife. How'd that happen? Got in the flesh. That's how it happened. I thought we were supposed to be in one accord, and we're supposed to be. Well, how do you do that? Walk in the Spirit. That's how you do that. What else? Well, long list. Seditions. The idea is we cause a split, and we stir rebellion against authority. I don't like the way the pastor said that. What do you reckon? Yeah. Who does he think he is? Look out. We're about to have some seditions if we're not careful. How does that happen? You get in the flesh. That'll work. And then he goes on, well, seditions, heresies, and that's teachings that are contrary to the normally held truths that we hold to. And then envyings, and wanting what belongs to someone else, envious of them. Murder, or murders, murders, plural. You get in the flesh. And you know, murder's something like adultery in this sense. Well, I didn't do anything physically, yeah, but you did in your heart. And the Lord Jesus, again in Matthew chapter 5, said, you get angry in the wrong way, and he said, you're guilty of murder. You get angry in the wrong way, he said, you're as good as killed him, you're guilty. How's that happen? Get in the flesh. That's how it'll happen. What comes next? Drunkenness. Drunkenness. Today, someone needs to speak out against drinking alcohol for Christians. Amen? Oh, Pastor, I believe you shouldn't get drunk, but I believe in social drinking. You know, you've got colleges and churches now promoting social drinking. You know, Mark, whatever his name was, who had a big church in America, they had a bar in the foyer. You know, on New Year's Eve, they have a champagne party for everybody. They say, we're free, we can do what we like. No, you're in the flesh, that's what you're in. Oh, you don't like alcohol, no. Again, it was one of the things we were talking about here in the Sunday school. I said, what are one of the problems? And one of the young lads said, drinking alcohol. I said, you got it. So look what they do. They advertise it in this wonderful way. It looks so good and so alluring. And, oh, they're having so much fun. Oh, it's just wonderful. Oh, we ought all get into it. I said, there's the bait. They don't show you the fella lying in the gutter there in his vomit and hasn't washed himself or had a feed for about a week. That's not how they advertise it, is it? No, it's always advertised as this wonderful thing. You know, oh, this is good. No. Paul said, that's just the flesh. That's just the flesh. There's drunkenness. And then there's revelings. You can guess what that is. Just drunken orgies, sexual parties, revelings. How do you stop that? Walk in the Spirit. You say Christians couldn't do that, could they? They could. You get in the flesh. You get in the flesh and you stay in the flesh for a while. You don't know what you're going to get up to. Well, it's not a very encouraging list, is it? But it's factual. It's up to date. It's right up to date, even though it's written 2,000 years ago. And notice what he says, and such like. Paul said, I haven't actually named them all yet. I've given you a bit of a list there, but there's still a lot more I could put on there. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. So now I've told you about this before, and I'm telling you again, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this can get controversial for some people as well. It's quite simple, the truth he's teaching here. Paul said, I've told you before, those live a life which are characterized by these sins, he said, they are not Christians. They're not. They're not saved. Because the word there where he says they which do, the word do has this idea of an habitual life of these kind of sins. Right? He says they're not going to heaven. As much as they might say they are, they're not. They're not going to do it. Have a look again in Ephesians chapter 4, sorry, 5. Ephesians 5. We've already read verse 5. Verse 4. We'll read it again. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Paul says, if you're going to live that life of sin, don't expect to be in heaven one day. He said, it's not going to happen. Now, it's one thing to be a believer and struggle with sin in our lives. All right? That can and does happen. We understand that. If someone, as a Christian, let's say they go down, they have a couple of drinks. Oh, they're not saved. No, that doesn't prove they're not saved. But you'd certainly want to be encouraged, that brother or sister. So look, you need to think about this. You're getting in the flesh here. And you don't know where this is going to finish. If you keep going down this track, you're going to finish in a mess. Because that's all that can happen when you get in the flesh. You need to be careful. So we're not going to say, look, you're not saved, but if let's put it this way. Someone's here tonight. They say, yep, I can see I'm a sinner. I want to get saved. Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. Thank you. You were raised again. I want to thank you for that. Amen. End of story. If that's all it was, just kind of a loose prayer and think, well, I prayed the prayer, I'm on the way to heaven. I don't think so. But let's say, well, I was genuine, but let's have a look at that person's life. You say you're going to get critical now. I'm going to do what the Lord Jesus said. Judge righteous judgments. He said you'll know them by their fruits. So here's a person, they make a profession of faith, and yet their life basically does not change. They're still out drinking. They don't go to church. What do you need to go to church for? All you've got to do is go to church to get saved, and then you can stay home. Or whatever. I don't think that person's saved. But here's someone who's saved, maybe they've been saved even for 4 or 5 years, and then for whatever reason, for some reason that bait's put out there by Satan, and they take it, and the trap goes, gotcha. And then they get ridden with guilt, and they feel bad, and they get discouraged, and they don't know what to do next. That can happen. It doesn't mean the person's not saved, it just means they're going to have to front up to some things and get some things sorted out and get back walking in the Spirit, amen? So just because a Christian commits any one or more than one of these sins, it doesn't mean that person's not a Christian. But it does mean they've been walking in the flesh. And they need to get walking in the Spirit again. 1 John speaks about that. Have a look in 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. And notice what John writes, for example, in verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. The idea is if you keep sinning, keep sinning, keep sinning, keep sinning, keep sinning, keep sinning, the Lord says you don't know the Lord at all. You don't know him. In verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And the idea is that you can't keep sinning ad infinitum if you're a true Christian. Because what will happen is the Lord will chasten you, and he'll bring sufficient pain till you give up. Just a matter of how much pain you want to put up with, that's really what happens. So, It's one thing to be a believer, it's another thing to struggle with sin. We understand that. Hebrews calls it a besetting sin. Besetting sin. A sin that you just can't seem to get the victory you want to, and you can't seem to. How do you do it? Walk in the Spirit. That's how you do it. And we'll see what happens when you walk in the Spirit. Verse 22, back in Galatians 5:22. So remember, we're contrasting what happens, the works of the flesh, as against the works of the Holy Spirit. Okay? We've said there's this conflict between the flesh, that's what I want to do, and the Spirit of God, what He wants me to do. There's that conflict. And here's what happens if I'm in the flesh, there's the works. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, here's what the Spirit of God does, not what I do. Okay, that's important to note that. It's not what I'm not trying to be perfect. No, the Spirit of God works in my heart and life. You notice in verse 22, for the fruit, right? Fruit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit. That means this group or cluster of nine character traits makes up the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a true child of God and you're walking in the Spirit, then all those characteristics will be to a greater or less extent seen in your life. Because it's the fruit. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of the flesh or the works of the flesh. Okay, so it's it means that we are now channels for the Spirit of God. And then He works this in us. That's the first thing He works. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the most important one. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You think about it, in 1 John, what does John say about God? God is love. Right? More than once he says, God is love. When you look at the commandments, the first and great commandment, the Lord Jesus says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. He said the second one is like unto it, love your neighbour. Both times, love God, love your neighbour, and that fulfills everything. So it's no surprise that God will put love first when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. The character trait in a believer ought to be one of love. And I want to just read something that I read. Epp wrote this. He says, the word is used to mean undefeatable goodwill toward all men. It's always an outgoing love. It is not a love that looks within or to feeling. It never seeks anything for itself. It does not matter how the individual may be treated. If he has this love in him, he'll not be resentful or antagonistic. You can say what you like. That makes you feel good, that's fine. He goes on and says, he will always seek the highest good, even of the person misusing him. Its chief ingredient is self-sacrifice for the benefit of the one loved. And then he says, no better illustration of this can be found in Scriptures, John 3:16, for God so loved. And we heard about that this morning, the love that the Lord Jesus has for sinners. The cost that he paid for sinners. That's a love that we cannot measure. And Paul said that to the Ephesians. The love of Christ, the love of God, which passes knowledge. He said we can't work it out. But we can enjoy it. We can experience. And by the Spirit of God working in our lives, we can love others with that same love. So you can do that. No, I can't. Well, what are you talking about? The Spirit of God, if I'm walking in the Spirit, yield to Him, He does that through me. It's not hard work. He does it. It's the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Then he goes on, doesn't he? He says, okay, we've got love, and then we've got joy. And joy, it's got nothing to do whether things are going good, bad, or indifferent. The Spirit of God produces a joy within me. And it's not a happiness even. Because happiness is transient. I've told you the story. I got this new car. Oh, wonderful. Go in and pay for it. Off the showroom floor. Easiest sale the fellow had ever made in his life. Oh, look at this. Got a new car now. Wow, man, how good is this? Latest model, everything's good. About 2 or 3 weeks later, whatever it was, a month later, something, my wife came home from Tea Tree Plaza. And she said, I got something I need to show you. I said, what's that? She said, come outside and I'll show you. Oh, what's happened? So I go outside. And what we have is an XD Fairmont, you know, state of art, everything. And it was a very, very, very dark blue. And I said, come around and have a look at this. Oh, what's happened? Go look around. And some kind person in the car park there at Tea Tree Plaza had got a coin or a knife or something and put some nice scratches down through the paint on this nice new car. There goes my happiness. Oh, no. Now, if that happened today, I'd say, oh, rats. Pity about that. It's only a car, though, Lord, thank you. It was all it was, just a scratch. Amen. And you got some joy there still. Wouldn't you like to punch him? No. No. Now, if I get in the flesh, I would. But in the spirit, no, I want to love him. I want to say, look, I know what you did, but that's okay. Don't do it again, though, please. That'll be good. You see? When you get in the flesh, look out. Man, if I ever see that fella, I tell you what I'm going to do to his car. He reckons he's done something to mine. Look out. Oh, my. But what I say, it's not dependent upon circumstances. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And you can be Paul and Silas sitting there in prison at midnight, having been beaten, and now they're in stocks, and they're singing praises to God, full of joy. Where's that come from? Fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. And then the Bible tells us there, the next one is peace. 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 Oh my, in a troubled world, to have peace. People say, is there anywhere where you can find peace? Yeah, there is. It's through a person. It's because of the Lord Jesus that we can have true peace. It's because His Spirit lives within us and He causes within us to have this sense of peace. Peace. Well, I thought you had all sorts of problems. I do. So how can you be at peace? Spirit of God produces peace. But don't you get stressed? Only when I get in the flesh. But if I walk in the Spirit, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. It's called the peace of God that passes all understanding. In Philippians chapter 4. It's called the peace of God ruling in your heart, in Colossians 3:15. At peace. It's contrary to the works of the flesh, isn't it? Totally opposite. In the flesh, you're under stress, you're under pressure, you wars and fightings and all that goes on. But in the Spirit, peace. Peace. Not only that, long-suffering. 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 In other words, we'd say, very patient. Very patient. Doesn't that annoy you? Oh, maybe a little bit. Hey, when I think of the way I must annoy God, that's okay. Long suffering. Yeah, but how many times? Long suffering. Long suffering. And then after that, what does he have? Gentleness. Gentleness. Okay. The idea is acts of kindness towards others. And then the next one he says there is goodness. And remember, this is the Spirit of God working this in my heart and life. Something in me that hates evil, and I just want to do good. I just want to do good. There's goodness there. And then he says, faith. I really believe in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Spirit of God works faith in our hearts. So you really believe in God? Yeah. You believe God's real? Yeah. You really believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Yeah. You believe he was raised physically and bodily from the grave.
Yep.
And you believe that if you turn to him and say, God, please forgive me, he'll forgive your sin and make you one of his children.
Yep.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I believe? That's what God says. So how do you do that? By the Spirit of God. Not by our own abilities or talents. And notice what he says next, meekness. Meekness, the idea of meekness is there's a spirit of humility. It's power, but it's under control. The Lord Jesus, the Bible says, he was meek and lowly in heart. There's a humility there, and yet there's great power there. The Lord Jesus could say to him, all authority is given unto me both in heaven and on earth. Great power, but under control of the Spirit of God. Meekness, spirit of humility. And then he finishes up with this last part of the fruit, temperance. Temperance, in other words, self-control. Self-control. So I just have trouble with these things. We'll walk in the Spirit. And he'll work temperance. He'll work self-control. And the conflict will end. I know what I should be doing, but I just can't seem to do it. And I'm just walk in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Notice what Paul says there. Against such there's no law. He says those nine things, there's no law against any of them. Even the world out there who mocks and laughs at Christianity and the Bible and God, they don't have a law against any of those. Love, joy, peace, etc. They have laws against the works of the flesh, yeah, all of them. There's laws against all them. Because they're the work of the flesh. But what God does, there's no law against that. Like God works that in our hearts and lives. Thank God for that. And then just to finish there, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So he says, listen, and this is a positional truth, we won't have time to expand on it too much tonight, but when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, positionally, I was on the cross when Christ died, because he died in my place. I wasn't literally there. So I am crucified with Christ. The trouble is, we don't know how to appropriate that truth properly in our lives somehow, and so we keep this struggle going. We keep it going. Well, he finishes in verse 25 by saying this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He says, since we live in the Spirit, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, the Spirit of God comes into our heart and life, we become his temple. So we're living in the Spirit. So now we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to do what we were talking about last time we looked at these things. We need to understand that it's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have fellowship with him. I'm going to surrender to him. I'm going to be controlled by him. I'm going to yield to him. I'm going to be obedient to him. And guess what will happen? I will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But I will enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. Not about you. I know which I prefer. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not hard work. You don't do that. The Spirit of God produces that. The works of the flesh are those you keep struggling against. I shouldn't do it, and I know I shouldn't do it, and I know that's not right. And we just keep fighting and carrying on. Just walk in the Spirit. Be obedient, yielded, and guess what? You'll enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.